This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? This is episode number 67 with Ben Hall from Mountain Bike Radio. Ben is one of the hosts of Mountain Bike Radio, New England Dirt. Basically, the way it works is Mountain Bike Radio has a bunch of subdivided shows within it, all under the Mountain Bike Radio name. So if you're looking for the show on iTunes, it'll come up as Mountain Bike Radio, and then you can kind of pick your episodes, and I'll have a different person hosting it depending on the type of episode that it is. But they make awesome content. They're really good guys. I'm psyched to be working with them a bit with The Outdoor Route, which is just a collaborative effort of a bunch of different types of podcasts, including ours. for right now, all it is basically just me sending them an episode or so when it comes out, and they post it throughout the medium. It just kind of is a way to get everybody like that might be interested in the same kind of content together through one page. So check out theoutdoorroute.com. I feel like I say root really weird. It's like root. Anyway, Ben and I got a chance to do this episode while we were at the Cliff Slopestyle event at Highland a few weeks ago. So I apologize if we seem a little distracted. We're literally looking outside at people doing fucking backflips and who knows what. Like, literally shit that I, like, look at and I just go, what is happening right now? Like, why would you ever do that? It's like, do you ever get that thought, you know, where you're like, oh yeah, I could totally hit this jump. And if I really, really wanted to, like, if I just didn't care, I could just send it and do whatever and, like, just do, like, six backflips. Like, sometimes I think like that in my head. It was like, if I didn't have any sense of self-preservation, I could maybe do some, like, super crazy shit. And then, like, I come back down to earth and I'm like, no, you can't. Like, let's be realistic here. But that's basically the type of shit that if you had no sense of self-preservation, not that these guys do. I mean, these guys are real professionals. So, like, I'm not saying they don't, but I'm saying this is the type of crazy shit that they're doing. Incredible athletes. So, basically, we're watching this go on through, like, a garage door, basically. While we're trying to record this episode. So I apologize if we seem a little distracted at times. We are rightfully distracted. Like I said before, you can find Ben's show and more info on Ben. They have the show on iTunes, Spotify, the whole shebang. You can also find it on theoutdoorroute.com. You can also find them on Instagram. It's just MTN. Bike Radio is the Instagram handle. Ben's is MTBBen603. And yeah, it was an awesome episode. I'm glad we got the chance to do it. We're going to do a couple sponsors here and then we'll jump right into this thing. I'm sorry, I'm sick, so I probably sound like shit, but I'm hoping it doesn't come across too much. It's pretty terrible. It's like every 2 seconds I'm like trying not to like sniffle or like make gross noises with my face. It's not the best, but hopefully it's just like a 24-hour, 36-hour, 48-hour, whatever I'm on bug, and it'll just go away after a little bit here. Some pretty crazy stuff is coming down the line. We got some awesome episodes coming that I haven't really announced or even recorded yet, just people that have committed to coming on the show. So once we get those like started to actually get lined up and get dates locked in, I will let you guys know. We do have our gear preview episode that's going to come out at the end of this month, which is just going to preview all the best gear, skis, boots, bindings. I'm going to do a little soft goods and a little accessories just for like the highlights for those things. But for skis, boots, bindings, basically it's going to be something along the lines of the top five products that I'm looking forward that actually changed, not just skis that are new, like that are new colors or whatever, like skis that are new in a somewhat substantial manner. That stuff will come out pretty soon. Our Giant Trance comparison for the 27.5 and 29 model that I did a couple weeks ago will come out this Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on when Ethan uploads it. And that should be really good. I've got some interesting feedback on the two bikes. They're the same for 2020, so you'll have a have some fresh info, I guess, for a bike that's still the same. But it also helped people that are kind of indecisive about 27.5 and 29 wheels. It'll probably be a helpful episode for that as well. And then in that episode, we'll also talk about some of the new bikes, because a bunch of bikes got released this week. Specialized Enduro got released. Kona Process got released. Santa Cruz has a new bike coming out next week. So we'll probably touch on all those in that same episode. But before we jump into this episode, I would like to thank our sponsor for this show and our sponsor for this episode, Bomberstrap. Bomberstrap is actually our first sponsor ever, and they are back on board for a few episodes. They've got some new products out there, some awesome new graphics, some awesome new prints. Bomberstrap is a company, if you don't know already, that makes a tailgate pad for a single bike. They also make a two-bike version, but for a single bike. It's really overbuilt. It's just basically like a strap that goes on the back of your tailgate, holds your bike in line. It's the easiest way to get your bike on and off without having a full tailgate pad that covers up your backup camera. And that takes up all the real estate of your tailgate. This thing is just like, it's super simple, it's small, it's easy on, easy off, and I love it. I've been using it for well over a year now for mine, and they have quite a few new colors. Excuse me. They are doing a basically like a dragon skin color run. So there's a red, a blue, and a green, and they all look awesome. The red's my favorite. Blue's probably my second. Green's not really my cup of tea, but I don't really like tea anyway, so it's probably not for me to decide. But you can check out all the stuff that Bomberstrap makes at bomberstrap.com. You can also find them on Instagram at bomberstrap. And if you decide to get one, just let them know that we sent you. Or shoot them a message and see if they can provide some more info if you're looking for some details to know which size fits your truck, which size is better for you, what color makes your eyes pop, blah, 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 blah. So check those guys out, please, and thank them for supporting the show. So without further ado, here is episode 67 with Ben Hall.
Do you want Mike to shut the fuck up while we're recording?
You can talk. You want, people will be like, who the fuck is talking in the background? And we'll just like eventually have to explain it to people, I think. So, all right. Who are you? What do you do? Introduce yourself, because I'm not.
Yeah, this is Mountain Bike Ben from New England Dirt.
So Ben, what do you do? What's Mountain Bike Ben? What's New England Dirt? What does that mean?
So New England Dirt is a show that I started back in August of last year for Mountain Bike Radio. My alias, since I can remember, has been Mountain Bike Ben, because a friend actually coined me that years and years and years ago, because that's the only thing I ever talked about as a kid was mountain biking.
Mm.
So he's like, "You're Mountain Bike Ben, aren't you?" And I was like, "All right, cool, it sticks."
Yeah.
Yeah, we started in August of last year with New England Dirt. The whole premise for me with Mountain Bike Radio is I'd been listening for years, but there was never anything that was being talked about within the industry, the culture, the scene, anything that was happening out here in New England. And I was like, there's a whole pocket of really rad mountain biking that's being missed to the larger demographic here. So I decided to do something about it. And I don't know, I'm close to like 50 shows in now.
That's awesome. How long have you been doing it? Like, I know 50
just,
shows, but
just
how many
since
years?
August.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, just since
that's crazy.
This past, so I'm not even a year in yet.
For some reason, I thought you've been doing it for longer.
So Mountain Bike Radio's been around for a long time.
Right, okay.
Mountain
and it's the other Ben, right?
7 years.
There's two Bens, is that what?
Yeah, okay. So Ben Welneck runs Mountain Bike Radio.
Okay.
I'm the other Ben.
Yeah.
Ben number two, as I like to call myself.
So why did you want to do it? I mean, I know there's like the whole thing where like the East Coast kind of gets left out. I kind of like subscribe to that too a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's also like it's a weird thing to just want to go do is talk into a microphone and
is
try
it?
To.
You do it.
I'm not a normal guy. I don't think like I'm a strange bird sometimes,
go.
Man.
There
like
you
I
go.
Mean, it's like
birds of a feather, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. I guess it's the storytelling thing of it.
Mm.
Well, there's two pieces, and I always tell people, like, the selfish reason that I do it is because I don't want to talk to people on my phone anymore.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
There's something, like, that's missing when you're just like, oh, dude, what's up? And you're texting them, or just even through Instagram message or Facebook, anything, right? Sitting down and having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
there's something more real about that, and that's what I was missing. So that's kind of the selfish reason of it. The other piece is I've been marketing for years. I love telling stories.
Yeah.
And I love listening to people tell stories. So podcasting was just the natural piece of that. I always liked going on radio as part of my marketing job and talking on radio. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was exciting. There was something, you know, unique to that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a YouTuber, so...
You sure?
This is my way to, you know, kind of, I guess, add to the whole content realm that is growing now. What, I got something weird on my face? Like, everything is weird on my face.
That's
like,
why he's not going to be a YouTuber.
See, that's why I'm not going to be a YouTuber. Yeah, I got face for radio. Thanks.
Shout out to Paige. Thanks, Paige.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a two-person, one-dog audience for this one, so... yeah, no, it's a weird thing, I think. But you're right. It is a very different kind of experience when you actually get to sit down and talk with someone for an extended period of time
right.
without any other distractions or right. know, anything else going on.
And usually, I mean, you know, right? You're in the world of skiing and bikes.
Right.
You're talking to people who are really cool.
Yeah, all the time.
Right? That it's just like, oh, yeah, keep telling me your stories. Yeah, yeah. You got cool yeah. stories.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know... It's easy. Like, I couldn't find myself doing, like, true crime podcasts. Like, that's not...
No,
like,
yeah.
No, nah, that's not who I am.
Me neither, yeah. But when I asked for podcast suggestions, I got, like, 20 true crime podcast ones.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, I'm not listening to any of these.
We like, should just make one up. We should just make one up.
What, true crime?
Yeah, about, like, some skier.
Yeah,
or
oh,
some
dude.
Mountain biker.
You know, what's the story that everybody tells when they're on the chairlift? About, oh, every time the chairlift stops, what story do people tell?
Oh, that movie, right?
That movie, Frozen? Yeah. Every single time.
Not the one where they're singing, the one where they're dying.
The one where they're dying, and everybody's on the chairlift, and they just like...
Wolves come out of nowhere to eat these
every
skiers.
Every single time. I can't remember the last time a chairlift stopped and somebody didn't say
and that
shit.
And that didn't come up?
Except for here. When the chairlift stops at Highland, you're fucking just melting. That's the
well, especially today, dude. I'm melting just sitting in the shack right now.
This is the coolest spot.
I know.
Outside. Period. Like, it's crazy.
Feel bad for the next person that sits in this chair.
Yeah, we might switch it up. We might, like, trade chairs in a minute. Like, I don't, we'll see what happens. I think I've got an hour before or an hour and a half before the next one. So.
Tomorrow's going to be even worse, dude. 100 degrees tomorrow.
I didn't schedule a single podcast tomorrow.
Smart.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and I was like, what if I just decide to not show up tomorrow?
Right.
You know, like, what if I just don't do anything tomorrow? That sounds... Just as good.
Just go sit in a lake.
Just go to the lake. Yeah, that sounds like what I'm probably going to end up doing. So,
yeah.
So what? How's it been going? How do you like doing the podcast thing?
Dude, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the people that I get to talk to, the places that I get to go to talk to people at are just like, and I find myself right now as the interviewee doing everything that I wish my interviewees wouldn't do. I'm turning away from the microphone.
Yeah, running, looking out. Well, looking, it's true. We got people jumping off shit. That's right. Different than what you normally have going on, and they're looking away from the microphone with
right, exactly.
nothing to see. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it's been great, you know, I was in Wisconsin this winter for Fat Bike Berkey, which was a blast. It's
sick.
1,200 strong fat bike race.
Yep.
But you don't see that every day.
No.
Right? And no. So that, you know, from that to hanging out at NIMBA Fest for a few days and talking to, I knew you interviewed Jeff Linowski earlier, right?
Yeah, he's coming on next.
He's coming on yeah, next, yeah. So I got to interview him and Bryce Sherbach and Ellis Galwold at the, like, on a live stage at NIMBA Fest.
Yeah.
Which was super cool. Yeah, it's just, you know, you get to meet fun, really cool, interesting people.
Yeah.
And enjoy really fun, interesting places.
Yeah. Yeah, it's how do you feel about fat biking? I'm like stuck on that part of it, like, because I'm not a big fan of the whole fat biking thing.
Dude,
to hear that many fat bikers makes me like gives me anxiety. So like, how do you feel about it?
Okay, so
like
there's two things here. So Fat Bike Berkey
okay.
takes place on where the Birkenbeiner takes place, which yep. is that huge like 50,000, 60,000 Nordic ski event.
Okay.
So you're on an FIS 22 foot wide. Okay. groomed Nordic track, right?
Yeah.
And so you're spread out.
Yeah.
But it's like you're on this frozen highway the whole entire time. So you're just ripping. It's fast.
Sounds sick.
All right, so fat biking. So I mean, I started downhill skiing when I was 4.
Okay.
Right? So I never fat biked.
Yeah.
I bought my first fat bike this winter.
Yeah.
Cuz I left the ski area I was working at. And I was like, all right, I'm going to dedicate more time to the you know, bike podcast. I got to get a fat bike and kind of cover the fat bike scene.
Yeah.
Dude, it is so much fun.
Really?
I mean, think about everything that's great about mountain biking. Think about everything that's great about skiing. You combine the two of them, and that's what you're doing. Now, I would never replace skiing with fat biking.
Okay, that's where I was about to go with that. Yeah,
I saw your thought. I was like,
but
you cannot replace like skiing a great player, a great session of glades or like a good bump run,
a powder or something.
They'll never be replaced. But the cool thing is that the good days for skiing are the bad days for fat biking, and vice versa.
Interesting.
Like, you don't go fat biking when you've just gotten 6 to 12 inches of powder.
Okay.
It sucks. All you're doing is just slogging away.
That. Yeah, that seems like it would suck.
But when you go skiing, you don't want to ski on frozen hard pack. Well, I mean, we live on the East Coast, so
that's what we have, right? 60 out of 100 days you ski.
But
or
that's
whatever,
when the fat biking is just like...
It's pretty good.
You're ripping on a white corridor of just like...
All right.
You ever ridden Boston Lot?
What's Boston Lot?
And like the West Lebanon, Lebanon, sort of White River Junction area of Lebanon, or New Hampshire and Vermont?
Maybe. I don't know.
Unreal in the wintertime.
I haven't gone fat biking ever, really. I mean, once maybe.
Bye, Paige.
Bye.
Thanks for being a support group.
You guys are doing great.
So I don't think I've ever gone fat biking, you know, so I don't think I've ever. Or do they have regular
shit there?
So
Boston Lot is a regular mountain bike like destination.
Okay. No,
great
then
place
I haven't. I don't think I've been there then.
But it's chunky, it's super techy. And in the wintertime, snow fills all those cracks up.
Okay.
So it's just smooth. Like, everything turns into what is now deemed a flow trail.
No shit. Okay.
So you're just ripping through things.
Huh.
The hardest thing to do is just to stay upright sometimes when it gets a little too greasy or icy.
I like the way that sounds. Like, that sounds fun, you know? It sounds fun. But see, the thing is, like, I'm coming from, like, shop background where all you do is deal with your typical fat bike guy.
Yes.
And... that guy sucks a lot of the time. And I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of guys at Fat Bike that listen to this. I'm not picking
not
on you particularly. I might be, but I'm not really like talking to you. But you know, the deal is like, my perspective on this is very skewed, I think, based on how I view the customer base, I think,
right.
You know, and not so much the activity. Because my pitch always is like, why would I go fat biking when I can go skiing? You know,
that's where I was for years.
Yeah,
okay. That's where I was for years. And it was even like when I wasn't working in the alpine world, I was three pinning.
Yeah,
right? And so I was just doing backcountry Nordic, or I was going and doing AT, and I was just going and exploring. Like, there's still like that hasn't left my life. What's happened is that I've gotten another sport that has kind of filled in those days where I wouldn't want to go skiing.
Where you would not feel like it. Yeah, because that's true. I guess because in my head, especially in the summer, like I'm blanking on the right word right now, but I very much like glorify skiing every single day. But in reality, in the season, I don't really want to ski every day. You know, some days suck. Some days are not fun at all. Some days are hard pack and gross, and there's a fucking huge line to go ski a sheet of ice.
Right.
You know, so I guess there are times when I'd want to go fat biking. So I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
I mean, I went from having like 100-day seasons, 120-day seasons, because I worked in the industry.
Yeah.
To skiing 5 times this past winter, every single day was an epic powder day. And the rest of the time, I wasn't going to pay for a ticket.
Yeah.
And I was just riding my fat bike.
Yeah.
So it was like...
Thanks, dude.
Best of... we just got beard. It's fantastic. It's like one of the best parts of podcasting. You just get random beard every once in a while,
everybody
right?
takes care of you.
Yeah.
Everybody
You're
takes
care Mike
of you.
The best, Mike Allen.
So backtracking a bit, how did you start, like what job were you doing beforehand? Like what, you came from Ragged, right?
So I was at Ragged. I was the marketing director at Ragged.
How long were you there?
I was there for 3 years.
Okay.
And before that I actually, was writing and selling advertising space for Vermont Sports and Vermont Ski and Ride.
Okay, cool.
And then even like prior to that, I actually went out of the outdoor industry for a hot minute. I don't know if you've heard that story before from other people.
Once or twice.
Step into the real world and you realize like, wow, it's scary out here. I'm going to go back to where I'm comfortable in the outdoors.
Shit, what the fuck? People are like doing all kinds of crazy shit. Like I was like
so
complaining
the
about
seat.
The view. Yeah, I've got the seat bed like has to turn around.
Freebird like, is right out the shed and it's like... It's gold qualifiers, right? Is that what's going on
I think that's
right
what
now?
It is. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. something where people are doing crazy shit that I would never. You know, it's funny. I was telling somebody at the Fox 10 a little while ago, like, this is not the same sport. Like, I mountain bike, they mountain bike, but it's not the same sport. Like, it's not the same thing. They're doing a totally different thing right now, for sure. It's insane.
Well, so wait a minute, but you, I mean, the same thing exists in skiing, right? I mean, there is those people.
I don't think that's the same thing either.
There's people who, they're happy just making slalom turns all day long on groomers, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the other, like, the park kids that all they want to do is ride park.
Yeah. I think that comparison's a little more of a stretch to me because they are.
That's like roadies versus
they only want to do one. Right. They only want to do one thing, yeah, right? They only totally care about one thing. If you were to just say, like, okay, I can ski a racetrack, but also can, like, hit a couple jumps in the park, but also like to go ski the glades, that's skiing.
That's
everything.
That's kind of the mountain biker who is.
Right.
Able to ride everywhere, whether it's Highland or whether it's behind their house, no matter where. But then there's like the guys who excel at park, which is what we're watching out here.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm saying I don't think it's the same thing. I think it's the comparison to, like, I guess mountain biking to road biking is about as close as it gets for a comparison. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it is, and I'm just not good enough to do that shit. But to me, it makes me feel better if I just say it's not the same sport.
That's fine. So, yeah, we'll go with that.
Before I got distracted.
Before the
wow
factor kicked in.
It's weird out there, right? Like in other jobs in comparison to the ski and bike industry.
I was in healthcare for about a year and a half.
Okay.
Just working marketing in healthcare. It was a really good job. Like I felt really like it was one of those things that you go home at night and you hang your hat up and you're like, I did a good day's worth of work because I was, you know, helping other people who need it.
Yeah.
But I was the only person with bumps and bruises and scabs and rad stories from the weekend, and like you just like I just felt the ugly duckling.
Yeah,
you know, just
they don't fit in with it.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
it's a weird thing. I think that's what most people say, like when that story comes up, where like, you're like yeah, I did this or I worked at like this place or that place, and really the difference is like you just don't you don't belong doing it, you know,
right?
And I think eventually
I had to tuck my shirt in every day.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that. See, that's the thing is, like, I complain about my job sometimes, and then I'm like, I could be doing something way worse than
this. Yeah, you could be sitting in a cube.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, I get to
sit
in a
shed. Sorry, everybody that's listening to this sitting in a cube right now. We feel for you.
Yeah, I mean, but sometimes people like that. You know, like, I know tons of people that are like, it's actually enjoyable for me to just come to work and
stability.
Leave work behind.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that, like, I don't really get to
do.
I'm sure you don't get to do that. Yeah, your work is all the time.
But, I mean, it also comes with our choice, right? You choose to stay in a cube, you walled in for work. We choose to be wall-free for work, but we're constantly on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the trade-off, right?
That gets old, too, sometimes, for sure. Yeah. Like, having to be on all the time.
Yeah.
Like, no matter where you go, if somebody wants to say hi or talk or whatever, it's like, that's your job,
So that's been one of the weirdest things, is that I'll pop out of the trailhead.
Yeah.
And somebody will be like, oh, it's Mountain Bike Ben. I'm like, when that started happening, that was weird. I don't know if you started getting that at, like...
For sure. At the Boston Ski Expo, people that were like, oh, my God, hey, like, you're the podcast guy. Like, and I was like, I'm not the podcast guy. That's not the name of the show, and I'm definitely not the only one. So, I don't... But I guess that's cool that you know roughly who I am,
Right.
So, that it's weird. It's weird, but you have to
be
on.
It's different, right?
Yeah, it's totally different.
And it's one of those, I never anticipated that happening.
No, me neither.
And actually, Ben and I had to talk about it. I was like, how do you deal with this? Because he's been in it for 7 years. Like, he gets it all the time. We're sitting at Dirtfest PA, and somebody walking past the booth as we're interviewing somebody stops, turns, and is just like, you're Ben Welnack. I could recognize your voice.
Hmm.
And it's like, even just voice recognition, like, that's crazy. So he deals with it all the time, and so it's like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear it. Like, I mean, that's the thing with podcasts is that you definitely feel more connected to the host, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a more intimate relationship.
Yeah. To that point, how has advertising been for you guys? I don't know how you guys do advertising or do ads or sell ad space, but how has it been?
So we just started, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And really, it was one of the things that I brought to the table with Mountain Bike Radio just from a marketing background.
Yeah.
I think part of it is that, you know, there are so many forums out there. There's so many places out there, especially in the mountain bike world, that you pay to play.
Yeah.
So you have to be like thinking about who your sponsors are and making sure you're saying the right things about the gear that they're putting out there. And you don't want to lose that sponsorship. And we never wanted to go there.
Right.
Right. And so we've stayed away from that, from keeping the integrity of reviewing products and not even reviewing products, just giving honest feedback on products.
Yeah.
So, but when I put my show up, I was quick to work with a couple of different shops and Papa Wheelies in Natick, Mass, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and Back Bay Bicycles down in Boston, and quickly signed on as a presenting sponsor of it. And they see a ton of love from both current customers, and they see new customers all the time from it. Mm. And it's just, you know, I think it's one of those things that there's a really great place for the partnership to exist. Like, I look at partnerships for it, right? For me and my local regional show, it's a partnership because they're trying to boost their overall regional success.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to the region that they're working in.
Yeah.
So it kind of, there's a symbiotic relationship that can happen there.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I'm working on a couple of national ones that are at the same level. Like, hey, we are nationwide, and
yeah,
we have a pretty good rating on Libsyn as far as podcasts are concerned. And so, yeah, there's a lot of space, a lot of opportunity for us, but it's happening fast.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a weird thing. It's, I didn't want to take on a hard goods sponsor at all because it would affect my ability to review skis in theory. But what I did, I think, when I started to talk to sponsors was like, I'm going to say what I was going to say, you know, like that's, it can't change. Like, I'm sorry if I say something bad and you really feel like you need to pull your sponsorship, please, you know,
that's
please
on
do.
Them, right?
Right. Exactly. Like, I mean, you know what you're signing up for.
It hurts your pocketbook at the end of the day, but that's on them.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, there was a few companies that were interested in, if they're not really interested in it and I'm being straight, I felt like it was an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, I was talking to Mike Powell, who does the Powell Movement, and he was saying, your podcast audience is worth a lot more than your regular audience. You know?
Absolutely.
You feel a lot more connected to that listener base because they're hearing you talk for a long period of time.
Yes.
And while they're doing other things, you're kind of in their head.
Yep.
So it's funny, like when I first started doing it, I would just like look at some of the list, like see who's listening right now, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, who's listening? Is there anyone listening in the world right now at 1 o'clock in the morning? Because that would fucking... That would get me excited to do it the next day, honestly.
Yeah, totally.
Because, like, you're like, shit, somebody's listening at 1 a.m.
This
right
means
now.
Something to somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so there's a reason to keep doing it.
Yep.
So that's one of the reasons, I guess, I'd like to hear other people's opinions on how the whole advertising thing goes, because I'm still new at it, for sure.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, it's one of the more interesting things.
Let's be honest. It's long-form media, right?
Yeah.
And the whole entire world of marketing over the past 20 years has been moving away from long-form media.
Yeah.
I mean, look at TV shows now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're almost non-existent.
Yeah.
Right? You're binging something on Netflix or on whatever you're streaming from, Prime or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're watching YouTube videos, which are like, if it's 10 minutes long,
yeah,
how many people actually last for those whole 10 minutes? So long-form content is kind of like... It's been suffering a little bit, but at
for
the
sure.
same time, now marketers, I think, are starting to see the fact that, like, this means something to a lot of people, and because it's so targeted,
yeah,
it's so direct to what, you know, Powell was saying, like, yeah, you're talking to somebody for 45 minutes about what they're so passionate about. Like, if they're tuning in and listening for 45 minutes,
yeah,
you know that they're super passionate about what's the subject matter.
Right. Right, and I think you as a podcaster kind of have your audience that listens to every episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a certain amount of people that listen every single time, even if it's a guest they haven't heard of. And I think that's how most podcasts go. Like, a lot, like, there's probably 10 shows that I listen to that if the guest is good, I listen. You know, if it's a guest I'm personally interested in,
right,
I listen. But then there's like one or two where I listen no matter what, you know.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I listen,
so what do you listen to?
So I listen to a lot of, like, comedy ones. So listen to the Congratulations podcast, which is with Chris D'Elia. That one's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
That's the, if I remember correctly, that's the, congratulations guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not congratulations, you did something good. It's like, yeah, congratulations, you got the Darwin Award.
Yeah, exactly. So I like that. That's mostly what I listen to. And you know what? I used to listen to, like low pressure when I was low pressure the time when I was starting this, just because I wanted to know what he was doing so I could not copy what he was doing.
Totally.
You know, so I ended up listening to him a lot. Winter Mix, I never actually really listened to. To it, and then I met him, and I really liked him, and I was like, I don't want to listen to you because I don't want to hear myself talking like you, you know? And that's a thing that you can do if you're doing the same subject matter. It's one of the things I was worried about with listening to Mark's show, but I also wanted to be like, I don't want to ask the exact same questions he's doing, especially because we had a couple overlapping guests early on. I was like, I don't want to do the same show for people.
Yep.
I have to listen to it more often.
Yep.
And now I don't even listen to any outdoor, not even yours, I'm sorry.
No, but it's all good. I was going to say the same, like, it's one of those things that I listen to music podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm into, right? That's that, and that gives me ideas to apply to my own work.
Right.
That it's just like, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start listening to, there's so many bike podcasts out there.
So many.
And it's like, I don't want to just be a part of what's going on already. I'm going to do my thing. And if people want to listen, awesome. If they don't want to listen, that's cool. There's something else that you're probably into.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the end of the day. Like, if you want to listen to my podcast, cool.
Yeah.
I'm psyched to be producing something that you're into. If you don't, I'm still going to do it because I'm having fun doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an important thing, and that's like how I approach it too, is like, I'm not doing it for every individual. I'm doing it for the people that want to listen. If you want to listen, that's fucking awesome. Like, and that's the same thing with like every guest I have on. I'd rather get one new listen, you know, and feel like the person wants to be on the show, than get somebody that I have to like DM incessantly or like text incessantly to get on the show. Like,
no,
I
know right away if they want to be on or not.
I don't want to do that. You know, like I'm not interested. It's partly an ego thing. You know, it's like, cause I like when I'm in the shop, I know what the fuck is up all the time. Yep. And I've known that for a long time. So like to go into a scenario where like all of a sudden I have to ask people for things is a ridiculous concept to me. Like, I don't want to do that. So if you want to do it, cool, man. It's for both of us.
But you know what? I think at the end of the day, that's what listeners actually appreciate about good podcasting.
Yeah.
Is that it's not faked or it's not forced.
Not forced is an important thing.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's where it becomes more of that. That's where that relationship with your listener actually takes a whole nother level. And I truly think that it's a relationship. I mean, at West Virginia, doing Dirt Fest West Virginia this past weekend. So I had my son, August, with me, who's 4 years old, and we do a show together called The Backyard Boys. So I got a 4-year-old doing podcast. Try listening to that.
I'm sure it's funny,
All
though.
You hear is banging on the microphone, chomping on his food. Dad, I'm done.
Yeah, can we stop, please? Yeah, exactly. Like, who's even here? Like, what are we? Yeah, who's even listening?
But it's like, so we do it for like 15 minutes, and it's just freaking awesome. Like, he loves doing it. But then I went at West Virginia, and I got families coming up being like, is that Augie Doggy? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh man, you guys are awesome. Like,
no shit.
So it's a relationship. And then we went out, and actually, like, August rode bikes with their kids. So that's that experience that it's just like, it's totally different than anything else.
That's special. That's a really good way to do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know you did that, first of all. Like, this is all news. Like, and that's another thing I was going to ask you about. It's like, I don't research anybody beforehand at all. So, like, I usually sound like an idiot, first of all. Second of all, I don't know anything about anybody, but it comes out like that. But I think that's fucking awesome that you do that.
It's you know what? I always think it's like, it's like when my dad pulled out the home camcorder.
Yeah.
You know, for home movies.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, so I'm doing it with my medium.
Yeah.
And capturing a really special moment in his life, and it's awesome.
And you have it forever. Like,
ever.
That's insane.
It's really cool.
That's really interesting. Huh.
Yeah, so check out the Backyard Boys.
Actually,
I just took him bike packing.
Did you really?
So
how'd it go?
It went awesome. So I rode my fat bike because I have bags for it, loaded it up, and we rode out. We rode a mile, right? But for a 4-year-old, that's like, that's forever.
Yeah.
He put on his backpack because we were going bike packing. So he's like, Dad, I have to have a backpack.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. So he brought his little stuffed animal and his PJs and rode out into the woods, and we set up a tent and camped out. And
that's sick.
It was really cool. It was a really special moment to be able to like go out there with him and capture his first experience camping, but riding his bike out to go camping on a podcast.
How Yeah, that's awesome. Does he like talk about it afterwards? Like, does he talk about doing the podcast? Like, is he excited to go?
He, this morning when I drove him to daycare, he wanted to listen to one of his old episodes.
That's awesome.
And he was like, remember the one that we went and we had oranges? I'm trying to think like through 4-year-old mind, like, what? Had oranges. He was like, yeah, and we rode over that really nasty bridge. And I'm like, you mean the nasty mud and there was a bridge over it? Yeah. Okay. And we put that one on and we listened to it on our way to daycare.
That's awesome. Holy shit. That's really funny.
It's pretty wild. That's so I'm partly as a dad, I'm wondering if I'm like growing a narcissistic little kid.
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are. As long as it's within reason. As long as he's not listening to himself while he's sleeping a ton, I think that'd be a little much, but, you know.
Can I go to sleep listening to myself?
Yeah, that'd be... See, I can't stand... That's part of the reason that I don't edit this show. Mm-hmm. One, I'm not very good at it. Like, I'm not very efficient at it. And I have a friend of mine that will work for Skis. And that works way better, you know? Like, he's really good at it.
Oh, so you pay him in gear.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's way better. I don't have to pay him out of pocket because everything from this is out of pocket anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I can't stand listening to myself. Like, it's just not enjoyable for me. I don't know how people do it.
I force myself to listen to my shows.
Do you?
Because for me, I think there's a, it's almost like doing your homework.
Yeah.
It's like practicing, right? And again, I go back to musicians. Like, a good musician practices all the time. And they don't necessarily practice their music, but they practice their chord structure. They practice their... Like, they just go through their drills, right? So I force myself to listen to my podcast, and it feels weird. Trust me, it feels super weird. I do feel like a narcissist when I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's the only way I'm going to learn what did I do wrong.
Yeah.
And how can I do it? It's like, dude, bring it back to skiing again. It's like when you were, I'm sure you raced as a kid, right? And they would bring out the, no?
I raced like twice in my whole life just to have a little bit of a back, like just so I could do it.
Yeah.
Mostly, again, from a narcissistic background, I was like, I'm way faster than all these idiots. Like, I don't need to wear a skid suit to be faster than you. Like, I'd be way faster.
What was for me, I was like, I didn't want somebody else telling me when I could and could not ski.
Yeah, that part of it, well, that was an option for me growing up for sure. And I was just like, this is not fun.
Right.
Like, I don't know who, I mean, respect to everybody that can do it, because I think it's exercise. Like,
some
mental. There's
some serious badasses out there,
it's
too.
It's a mental exercise, you know? But it's not for me.
So I equate it to watching. So it's not uncommon in ski racing that a coach will videotape athletes.
Right.
So they can see where they're actually performing at in the turns, like where their angles are at, everything like that, right? So I kind of see it as the same. Like, I have to, if I'm going to be better at my craft, I have to reflect on my craft.
Mm. Yeah, see, I do it a different way. Like, I'm very, very conscious about people's feedback, you know, and I take notes on everybody's feedback, and I actually like solicit that feedback, I think, you know, like I look for in all the show notes and stuff, like I'll look for feedback in every one of them, you know, and we get a ton. That's one of the nice things about the show is that people send emails all the time. People hit the contact us button on the website and they're like, okay, like, this is what I think. I think you're an asshole for saying this. I think you're a genius for saying this.
Yep.
You know, these kind of things are That's kind of how I do it, I guess. I do have to listen to some of them because, like, sometimes a buddy's, like on a drive is like, oh, like, can we listen to this? Like, I really want to hear what this lady had to say or what this guy had to say. Like, it's just important. I want to hear.
That's got
to
be weird.
And I was like,
listening to it with your buddies.
Dude, I don't want to do this, you know? I just kind of take myself out of it and just stare at the road, you know? But it's just an odd thing.
Like, you brought earbuds, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, put your headphones on, man.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to listen to myself during this car ride, man.
See, I think I go into, like, seclusion mode and listen to them because then I couldn't listen to them with other people around.
Yeah. I don't want to. It's not like a thing that I'm like, hey, let's put it on. Yeah. You know? Like,
hey, you heard my latest episode?
Yeah, no. I'm all set on that for sure. How do you feel about the amount of podcasting that's going on right now? Like, because that's a thing I also asked Warner when I did an episode with him, was like, there's a lot of podcasts out here. And I knew he was salty that, like, there was a lot of ski podcasts out. So that's part of the reason I asked him.
Yeah.
I don't think you're salty, but...
No, I'm not. Like, go for it.
Yeah, right.
And I think, like, all right, there's a shitload of people in the world. Yeah. Not everybody is going to subscribe to my podcast or your podcast or their podcast, but they're going to listen to the person that they're most affiliated with, like they find an affinity with, and they're saying the same things or thinking the same things, or maybe they're challenging them and they're going outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Like, there's something for everybody now. And I think that's what's cool. So I would say, no, dude, you want to start podcasting? Start podcasting. I mean, that's, you know, you were talking about sponsorship and advertising. That's actually a world that we're moving into, is starting to do production for people.
Yeah.
And producing other people's podcasts.
Right.
And I guess we see it as being like, this is for the kids right now. And Ben and I talk about this on a regular basis. They don't care where the medium's coming from, or where the content is coming from. It could be a YouTube video, it could be a television show, it could be a movie that they're watching in a theater, it could be a CD, which, who uses those anymore? They're coasters. It could be streaming music over Spotify, it could be listening to the radio. They don't care where it comes from, they just care that it means something.
Yeah.
Right? And so the more people who are doing this, the more meaningful and I think intelligent content that will be out there.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of intelligence that goes into a podcast.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, we do podcasts on skiing and bikes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah,
the intelligence quota is a little lower on our end.
Definitely. Dude, I did one with Emily Schramm, who's like a fitness girl and like entrepreneur and like all this stuff, like a couple weeks ago. And I was like, holy shit, you are so much smarter than me. You are like up here, and I'm like trying to hold the conversation, and I'm like over here, like, I like to ride my bike, you know?
But at the same time, like, we're having a fluid conversation right now.
Yeah.
Right. We're not stumbling over our words.
Right.
Like, there's a certain level of intelligence that goes into making a podcast. Like, you have to know how to talk comfortably, confidently, and sit down with somebody who you've never met before and strike up a conversation, which is not easy for everybody to do.
Very awkward.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a certain level of intelligence that podcasts have.
Yeah.
And so I think that helps. If you're looking to get into podcasting and you want to add to this, you're just adding more good things to the world, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I think that everybody, yeah. I really would even take it a step further. I think idiots should have one, you know. I think people that truly
they'd
know
probably
nothing,
get huge subscriptions.
They'd get great, and they, like, do. They
what
do.
Is that show, Trailer Park Boys or whatever?
It yeah, is.
Could you imagine that
kill.
As a podcast?
They
would, yes.
kill, you know.
Yes.
And even the show that I was talking about, like, Chris D'Elia's an idiot, you know, like he's an absolute idiot, but he's hilarious. So
you heard it here
listen.
First.
Yeah, exactly. But so people listen to that shit for a reason. It doesn't right. have to just be, you know. So I really think that everybody should have one. You know, everybody's yeah. got their niche. Everybody's yeah. got their listener base.
Well, I guess my point is, I mean, I'm an idiot, but my point is that there is a certain level of intelligence. Like, the intelligence comes in so many different forms.
Right.
Right? And to be able to just sit down and talk, there's a certain level of intelligence that it takes to be able to just sit down and talk with people.
Right.
I love the idea of just, like, the group of buddies sitting around a microphone and just, like,
yeah,
yammering on about what there's going on in their life.
Yeah. If somebody could actually organize it, like, make it a regular, you know, thing. The problem is without talking over each other and, like, yelling and, like, people, like, talking back here and stuff, like, it would be sick. That's yeah. I like that idea.
Mike, you didn't go to Dirtbag with us this past year, did you? At Jeff's house?
No.
Yeah. So I do an event every year called Dirtbag Weekend.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the boys get together. We don't go golfing like a lot of
right.
college friends do, yeah. right? I used air quotes there for anybody who is listening that doesn't see my finger gestures. But I was like, I want to get together and hang out with my boys every year and the guys that I don't see on a regular basis. So I started this Dirtbag Weekend, which is a mountain bike weekend.
Right.
Group of us guys, we all get together and we go off in the woods and we just camp and we drink way too much. And there's other things that go down, you know, a little smoky that happens too much. And we have a good time and we ride right. our fucking asses off for 3 days in a row. And we recorded a podcast during it last time.
No shit.
There was 8 of us sitting around. And we, at that point, my setup, I only had 2 microphones. So we're literally passing the microphones around
That's
the circle.
Funny, man.
Dude, it was like, I had so much feedback of like, this is what mountain biking is.
Yeah.
This is what the whole entire experience is about. It's about hanging out with your friends, riding, having a good time. And at the end of the day, you're high-fiving each other.
Yeah.
That's a cool experience.
Yeah.
So I dabbled into the, like, how many people can we get on a single podcast together?
How many people was that?
It was 8.
Oh, my God.
And it was
I think it was on four, and it was like mayhem. I was like, my brain was just like darting across the room left and right. Like yeah. There was no, yeah, I'm not, I was just like, I way too much ADD to go do this. Like, it's just not possible. Like, I just can't do it. Well, before we wrap this up, I do want to ask you about your new bike, because that's a conversation I could have.
Hell yeah.
How do you feel about it? What do you like about it?
Actually, I was just saying, like, I hate the word unicorn because everything's a unicorn right now.
Yeah.
So Mike actually called it the moose because he's still never seen a moose up here in New England. I cannot believe that there is a bike right now that has 160 millimeters of travel that is more than capable of anything that I put in front of it.
Right.
I've PR'd my, like, home trails that I've ridden a cyclocross bike on.
Yeah.
And I still PR'd it on the Mega Tower. It is so capable. Huh. That platform is just unreal. Unreal.
I mean, I think it's the best suspension platform that exists, in my opinion. In terms, not just like, there's
that
obviously
long,
more...
That long, low VPP?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's more complicated shit for sure, but it's like, then you talk about maintenance and what's the, like, you're kind of equaling out, like, the maintenance level versus what it actually does. But do you think it's too long? That's what my...
Nope.
You think it's okay? How tall are you?
But I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'1".
Okay.
I'm a big guy. I've been riding 2.9ers for a long time.
Okay.
I was an early convert. I was actually really excited to get back on a 2.9er from 27.5s.
Yep.
Because I just felt it was being back on a 26 for me. It was just, I felt like I was on top of the bike as opposed to riding with the bike.
Right.
But I'm really excited. I just ordered a new wheel set for it. Do you know Dirt Components?
No.
So shout out to Dirt Components and Patrick Reed down in Texas. The guy is building carbon fiber rims, small run carbon fiber rims, and he's lacing them up to a pair of the new Hydra i9s.
Sick.
So I'll be rolling a pretty fat
setup.
That's
awesome.
On that bike.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that bike, you know, and I haven't ridden it yet.
So you're on a Santa Cruz, though. What are you on? Are you on a Bronson?
I'm on a Nomad. I just picked it up literally 2 days ago, so it's not like I've had a ton. But I've ridden every bike in the line. I had the Hightower LT for a minute last year. So, like, I felt like that bike was too long. I've heard people complaining that...
About the length of it?
About the length of Megatower.
Nobody complains about length.
Yeah, I mean, somebody has to, right? Like,
So because that flip chip in the rear, though, I run it forward.
Okay.
So I don't run it in the longest setup.
Yeah.
And it's funny, so being here at Highland, people will be in the lift line, they're like, yeah, make it tap. And they're like, wait a minute, you're running it in the forward position? I'm like, yeah, it's actually more nimble.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't find a loss of stability. I mean, the thing's got 160 millimeters of travel. Like, it's pretty fucking stable.
Right.
So... I'm sure, like, if I was dedicating that thing to just enduro racing or hammering all day long at a bike park, I might flip it. But I like it in the shorter setup, and I find it more nimble that way. I don't find it being too long.
Okay.
I will say that it took me about a week to 2 weeks of solid riding to get used to the geometry difference and feeling that wheelbase. But that wheelbase, like, it's not a big deal once you're used to it.
Sick. That's good to hear. Yeah, I'm always skeptical when they release a bike and there's like this huge hype train that goes with it.
Yeah.
You know, like whether it's actually good or not, you know. Especially bikes that like aren't really made for guys in New England as much. You know, like that bike's designed for somebody that rides the trails they have.
Yep.
That's the only thing that I like ever criticize them about, really, is like they build the bikes for the guys out there.
They're West Coast guys.
It's different trails.
Yeah, it's like, totally
different riding.
So I have learned that there's a different riding technique that I take on with that bike, but it is more than capable with that different technique. So, for instance, tight rock gardens.
Yeah.
Climbing in technical rocky areas.
Yeah.
Actually, I drop the seat, I get out of the saddle, and I pick my line, and I'm almost like, not like trials riding the bike, but I'm actually like hopping that bike up different technical sections.
No shit.
And, or around different technical pieces of trail. So, I've adopted a little bit my riding style to that bike to be a little bit more capable, in my opinion. But again, my home trails, that there's this one section that's pretty I mean, it's not super techie, but it's technical enough that it throws a lot of people off the line. I PR'd the thing on that bike. So
and you're riding it here.
And I'm at Island riding it here.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Well, that is nuts. I mean, there's definitely something to be said about how versatile bikes are now, you know? Like, it's a different thing.
They're unreal.
You could take a cross-country bike and ride it here, and you'd actually be okay. Versus, yeah. Like, 5 years ago, a cross-country bike would fucking buck you off the thing in, like, 5 minutes.
Yep.
So, I definitely like where things are going in that respect. Where can people find your show?
Yeah, cool.
What's the show name?
Yep.
Instagram, the whole shebang. Plug it away.
So Mountain Bike Radio is changing a little bit. It's still Mountain Bike Radio 100%, so you can find it at mountainbikeradio.com, but we also are building the outdoor route right now. Yeah. So it's actually go to the outdoor route, ROUTE.com. You'll find a whole bunch of shows there, including your own.
Is it on there?
It is on there.
I haven't even found it on there. I haven't even looked for it on there. I need to go look.
You got to send us your updated podcast.
I sent an email and I was like, hey, where do I go to find my own information?
OutdoorRoute.com.
And I was like, all right, we're going to talk about that afterwards. That's a different issue. Okay.
So we've got a huge network of podcasts on the OutdoorRoute.com. So I actually host a beer podcast on there called Good Brew. Which is not about beer. It's actually about the people who make beer and why they make good brews that they can sit around a campfire at the end of a trailhead or on a kayak or a canoe and enjoy a beer. So why are they doing that? That's the whole point of that show.
Right.
And then on Mountain Bike Radio, you can find my New England Dirt. You can also find the Backyard Boys. And that's my show.
I got to check out the Backyard Boys. I'm excited about that one for sure.
It's
not that I'm not excited about the other ones, but like
it's funny.
I'm excited for it.
It's
for
just
sure.
Fun doing it with my. It's something special with myself.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So, and then on Instagram, it's Mountain Bike Radio. I am MTBBEN603 on Instagram. I always cross promote what I'm doing on Mountain Bike Radio on my own stuff,
cool. So people can find it there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Beauty.
Exactly.
Thanks for doing this, dude.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. This is fun.
Anytime, man. It's always a good time. You're welcome whenever.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
All right, that was episode 67 with Ben Hall. You can find Ben on Instagram at mtbben603, and you can find Mountain Bike Radio online at MTN Bike Radio, and that way you can find all the information on the show that Ben does and all the subdivision shows that these guys do. It's Ben and Ben, which gets a little confusing. I was about to say at Ben Radio. At Mountain Bike Radio. Thank you to Bomberstrap for sponsoring this episode of the show. Be sure to go to bomberstrap.com to find more info on the product. You can shop there. You can do the whole shebang. Be sure to check that stuff out. Stuff is seriously so awesome. And it's really dialed product. So thank you to those guys. And we'll talk to you guys maybe this week, maybe next week. I haven't really decided yet, but we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.